Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Broadcasted from Konami HQ in downtown Tokyo, it's the world-renowned Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast.
Hi everyone, this is the MGS4 Integral Podcast, Episode 8. I'm Aki Saito, joined with...
Hello, my name is Sean Eystone.
And...
Hi, this is Ken Imaizumi.
Okay, today... Sean, we're in your favorite stage.
Yes, we are. We are in Shadow Moses.
Where was our meeting point?
Our meeting point today is behind the truck in the heliport.
Yeah, just after, you know, the opening sequence.
Right, so after the opening sequence, you kind of go through that snowy area, and then you find the heliport, and then to the north of the heliport, there's a truck. So you should be standing right behind that truck. You know, I just want to point out one thing. On the webpage, we've been getting comments and things from people, and one of the comments that we got was about, you know, how we jumped back to the power station stage after we did the tracking stage?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of people maybe only had one save, and so, you know, there's a lot of trouble for them to have to backtrack. And so, you know, we're sorry about that. You know, basically, when we're doing these podcasts, we're kind of doing it not necessarily in order. So people who are playing, you probably want to keep more than one save. You know, keep saves on all the levels and be prepared because we may jump back again in the future. So just want to point that out.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, well, Sean, I heard that you have so many memories in this actor stage, actually.
He has a lot of things to talk about.
you want to start off?
The private.
Right, right.
How it changed your life?
It changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I guess first things first, I just want to thank everybody for sending in their messages and comments on the webpage, because we have been getting a lot. And, you know, we haven't been replying to them on the show because, you know, there's kind of a lag between when we get the feedback and when we record. But we want to thank everybody for sending in their feedback.
Some people wanted to know, like, who the hell is Sean?
Exactly, exactly.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
So, since I never really introduced myself properly, I guess now would be a good time to do it, since I was in charge of Moses. During Metal Gear Solid 4, I was involved with the script unit, and I think there's a lot of people who may not really know what that is, really, because in Kojima Productions, the script unit is kind of unique in a way. So basically what we do is we handle game design, level design, creating the maps, and doing all the scripting, and basically, you know, all the stuff that brings the game together. So we communicate with the programmers, communicate with the designers, artists, and kind of bring everything together into the final stage.
So my understanding is that the script unit is kind of the central point where you gather all the materials.
Right, right.
Make sure the flow goes right.
Right.
Which flag is, you know, up or down, you know, things like that, right?
Right, right. Okay, so it's kind of like the focal point, you know, where everybody just, all the materials come together. You know, the game design kind of comes together, the program gets put in, the art gets put in. And of course, you know, we place the enemies, we tweak the gameplay, all that fun stuff.
He was in charge of Shadow Moses.
Yes.
You know, maps and, you know, all gameplay stuff. So if you guys have some, like, complaining or anything, you know, just you know, call him up and say, you know, hey, Sean, you know.
Yeah, but wasn't this a challenge for you? Because you know that all Metal Gear fans know the stage.
Yeah.
You know, mostly inside out.
Right, right, right. And that was the hard thing because, you know, we're revisiting Shadow Moses, so we have to reuse the same maps. You know, I mean, basically we want to use the same environments, but somehow create a new gameplay experience using those same environments. That was a really challenging experience.
Yeah, you have to be precise and you have to make it, you know, to the next gen sort of,
right,
from the PlayStation 1 actually.
Right.
So it's like two steps up.
Exactly. So somehow make it look the same, but make it look a lot better, and introduce something new to the gameplay that will be kind of fresh, you know, to people who have played Metal Gear Solid 1, as well as people who may be playing Metal Gear Solid 4 for the first time.
Well, I think I have to say you and, you know, the team doing this Moses stage did a real great job, because I could say that I had no kind of awkward feeling. I had an almost natural feeling that this was almost playing MGS1.
Cool.
But actually, you know, come to think of it, it's not MGS1. I mean, everything is all different. It's all, you know, high res and things like that. I mean, the truck itself, you know, that we're standing right behind is, you know, it should be the same truck. And I do get the kind of the same feeling. However, it's probably totally different, right?
Right,
in a technical
point of view. That's the thing too, you know, like when we're planning the stage, you know, we're kind of talking about it and we're like, well, it shouldn't be too hard because, you know, it's the same as Metal Gear Solid 1. We'll just, you know, make the same stage and it shouldn't be that hard. But actually, there's a lot of work involved, you know, because we basically remade everything from scratch. You know, I mean, you can't reuse anything from, you know, PlayStation 1 game. So everything is, you know, totally from scratch and recreated just from Metal Gear Solid 4. So we had to try and recreate things so that they look the same, but just look a lot better. And also, a lot of effort was put into the environment effects, like
yeah,
the
like
snow.
The yeah, well,
yeah, we had a hard time to create this snow
was quite obvious because, you know, I thought that, you know, it looked a lot colder than MGS1. Mm-hmm. Because you get all the, you know, snow sticking on the cameras and things like that. But, you know, it was more like really kind of, how do you say, not foggy, but very snowy in a way. Mm-hmm. And you can't really, and you feel the coldness. And also there was snow on there actually at the beginning. So you feel like you're really in a hollow place, and but still you have that same nostalgic feeling.
You know, getting all this stuff in here, I mean, there's a lot of work that most players probably won't even realize that it's there because it's really subtle. Just all these effects that go into making this snowy environment look great, like, you know, the mist and like the snow falling from the sky, the snow that actually sticks to Snake. You know, the longer you stay out in the snow will build up on his body. You know, there's his breath coming out, little flakes of snow falling off of his suit, the snow sticking to the camera, and then of course the ground. You know, we had to create a whole new system just for this stage because, you know, you sink into the snow here and you can crouch onto the snow, and, you know, Metal Gear Mark III moves differently on the snow. So, you know, there was a lot of, I think, unseen effort that went into this stage, you know, trying to make it look the same but look really next gen. And just kind of bring out that real nostalgic feeling for all the players who are coming back to Shadow Moses for the first time in about 10 years.
Wow, Sean, this is your stage.
Yeah, this is your show.
What do you got to tell the users? Everyone's kind of waiting behind.
Right.
That, yeah. You know,
sorry, we've been jabbering for quite a while.
Yeah, okay.
We're sitting in the cold.
Let's go on.
All right, so first of all, you know, one thing I want to point out is that we really wanted to create this really nostalgic feeling in Shadow Moses. And one of the things that we did was actually to place a lot of the items in similar positions, you know, in the same areas that they were in Metal Gear Solid 1. So people who played Metal Gear Solid 1 may remember that there was a weapon in this truck, Mark 23 pistol. And this time you'll see that the truck is closed, but if you crawl under the truck, you'll find that the gun is actually under the truck this time.
Okay.
So people familiar with MGS1 should definitely pick that up. And one other hidden thing about this gun is if you go into your menu,
the weapons,
and equip it in your weapons, and return to the game, and when you equip this and ready it, you know, you draw it to fire, you'll hear Snake reminiscing about this gun.
Yeah.
You're back in Shadow Moses, you're here with the same gun. Just for people who played Metal Gear Solid 1, you know, they're probably feeling really, really nostalgic, and so is Snake. All right, so anyway.
Details.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. More details.
Okay, give me more details.
Okay, another thing, you know, we wanted to create this really nostalgic aspect to Shadow Moses, and another aspect of that was to have, you know, the same songs from Metal Gear Solid 1, the same music, and so we really wanted to include, you know, the theme song, The Best Is Yet to Come. And so, you know, of course, you'll hear that when you first come in to the heliport area. But one thing to point out, and I think most people heard it, but just in case, you know, there are some people who missed it, there is a condition where you may not hear this song. Basically, you have to come into the heliport area without being spotted. So if you're in an alert phase or a caution phase, the song actually won't play. So you really have to sneak past that gecko at the beginning of the stage, you know, in the snowfield. And then sneak into this area, and when you do, as soon as the heliport comes into view, that song will begin playing, and you'll get this really cool nostalgia going on.
Good song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Okay, the next thing you want to do is, right now we're under the truck, so let's just go ahead and crawl out from underneath the truck and head up to the center of the heliport pad.
Okay, let's go. Okay, what happened? Oh, there's another item right in the center.
There's an item right in the center, which people remember was here in Metal Gear Solid 1 as well. Chaff grenade. In addition, when you come to the center of this heliport, you should be hearing some voices right now.
Yeah.
So, of course, the scene from Metal Gear Solid 1 where you first get introduced to Mei-Lin. You know, people who are playing Shadow Moses, there are these flashbacks hidden all over the stage, so, you know, be sure to look around and listen for those. There's one more thing as well If you stand in the center of this heliport, and I think this is a secret that I think most people probably have not figured out, because you know it's really hard to, and most people wouldn't do this. But if you put the camera, shift it so that you're looking at Snake from above, you know, similar to the camera angle in Metal Gear Solid 1.
Top view.
Yeah, top view.
Yeah, yeah.
And you leave it here for a while. You hear Snake.
Snake say something.
Right. So he starts talking about the overhead view, saying how it's just like old times. And
the game was the top view.
Yeah, yeah, overhead view, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And you actually, I heard a tune that you got some driven points.
Right. So yeah, so this is actually a hidden feature, so you can get some driven points for this. You know, people may remember that back in South America, there was, you know, one hidden flashback on that stage as well. So for all of these flashbacks, if you listen to the end without skipping ahead, you will get driven points for that. So be sure not to run away and, you know, cut the flashback off early, because you won't get the driven points. So be sure to listen to the end.
Okay.
One thing also is when you came up into this heliport, you picked up some chaff grenades. And these items, of course, people will remember them from previous Metal Gear games. But in Metal Gear Solid 4, they are very useful, especially in Shadow Moses. Because, you know, this time around, Shadow Moses is completely inhabited by robots. So you've got the Gecko, you've got the Dwarf Gecko. And when you use the chaff, it just totally disrupts them and makes it much easier to get to the stage. So, you know, for people who are having a really hard time with Dwarf Gecko, what you should do
Right,
save these chaff grenades and, you know, use them wisely, ration them out, and use them to get past the hardest areas of the stage.
Actually, I remember I used this. I don't know it worked, but I kind of used this predicting it worked.
Right,
and actually got them confused, and
Especially for the Dwarf Gecko. You know, the Dwarf Gecko just get completely wiped out by this chaff grenade. The geckos, you know, they'll still be able to fire at you, but it does, you know, keep them from moving. So either way, it's a very useful weapon.
Good, good. Okay.
Yes. Some people might gonna say, like, you know, 10 years ago, the chaff grenade was very, very, you know, useful, and 10 years after, still, the chaff grenade is is useful.
Yeah, we're living in a world of, you know, information and technology and things, and
but it's still.
Yeah, yeah, but Ken, but if someone put out the batteries off your phone, you're gonna be in trouble, right?
I know, but that's true.
You're saying there should be anti-chaff grenade.
So it should be countermeasures.
Counter chaff grenade thing. You could be right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some people might gonna say.
And then there's gonna be anti.
Right. We can just say it evolved beyond the next step, right?
Okay. Like
the countered and countered again.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sean was, you know, working really hard, and maybe, you know, his life has been changing, you know, from this point that something was happening.
What happened? Did something...
Do you want to bring that up?
Well, I thought, you know, you were going to talk about, like, you know, the gameplay and then your life in Japan.
My life in Japan.
Yeah.
Well, where to begin? Well, you know, when I first started on Metal Gear Solid 4, it was shortly after I got married. And let me just give some advice to anyone out there who wants to start in the game industry. Do not get involved in a really huge project right after you get married. Your life will be hell.
Well,
yeah, it is very tough. You know, I mean, there's always, you know, crunch time in these games, and, you know, especially for a game like Metal Gear, you know, we're pulling some really crazy hours. And, you know, when you're single, yeah, that's fine, right? You can sleep in the office, you can do whatever, and it's your own time. But when you're married, things are a little different, and it's not as easy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Ken, we shouldn't talk about this anymore because, you know, Sean's starting to cry. And
I'm getting a little misty.
Yeah, well,
and, you know.
Yeah, he really missed his wife, you know, like who left.
Okay, well, Sean,
anyway,
let's move on. Let's go to the west part.
All right.
West part of the, what was it?
Yes.
What do you call it?
From the heliport, from the helipad.
Yeah.
Let's head to the west, and you'll see there's a storage
room.
To the west, and so let's just head in that direction. People may remember that the storage room was here in Metal Gear Solid 1, but you couldn't go in. This time, you know, the doors are open, and you can go in from this room to the other adjacent rooms through a duct at the back of the room. If you look at the corner, the northeast corner of the room, you'll also see a camera.
Yes, the surveillance camera.
Right, yeah. Surveillance camera that's also here from Metal Gear Solid 1. Right now it's not doing anything because we started the stage kind of, you know, in the middle from the back of the truck. Mm-hmm. But if you came in to this stage from the snowfield and you have The Best Is Yet to Come playing in the background and you come to this camera without being spotted by any enemies, mm-hmm. and there are no, you know, flashbacks playing or anything else like that going on, mm-hmm. you can actually see a very special sequence. Another very hard to find hidden sequence, mm-hmm. where we actually relive the first time Snake sees these surveillance cameras in Metal Gear Solid 1. Mm-hmm. So basically we match the same camera angle and have Snake look up at the camera, mm-hmm. and, you know, you hear the flashback, you know, surveillance camera.
Surveillance camera?
Right.
Yeah, that one. Well, I couldn't
Did
find
you see
this.
It?
No, but I saw the demo, so I thought, you know, I was doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Because when I played the game, I didn't see this demo, and I was like, I know that there is a surveillance camera flashback, mm-hmm. but I didn't see it when I'm playing the game.
What did I miss?
Right.
I mean, what did
so
I do wrong?
I think there's some people who may not realize what the conditions are. So yeah, definitely come here while the song is playing.
I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. This is a real tough condition, isn't it?
It's pretty tough. You have to come here while the song is playing, without being found, and without any of the, you know, the flashbacks playing in the background as well.
Yeah.
And you can only see this once. So if either camera will work, you know, there's this camera here, and then there's also the one in the northeast.
Yeah.
So either one you go to, you'll see that camera sequence, you know, for each camera, there's one sequence.
The camera sequence is really fun.
Yeah.
So people who play the Metal Gear Solid 1, they will love it for sure.
Right.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I think they'll get a kick out of it. So yeah, for people who haven't seen it, go ahead and give that a try.
Okay, let's get out of this room, and where we head, John?
From this room, you know, if you go through this, at the back of the room, there's actually a duct that leads to the other storage rooms, mm-hmm. that you couldn't get to Metal Gear Solid 1. Mm. And this time, if you crawl through this, you can actually get some items back there, like Kirichan ramen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this really cold stage, it might be good to eat some nice warm ramen. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this ramen noodle thing, mm-hmm. you know, I had a really hard time. Because, you know, we were going to have the, you know, but then I talked to some people from, you know, the company. Mm. I had a big presentation to them, like, you know, what kind of concept is this game, mm. and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they rejected. Mm. This is the second time, because we tried it when we were making a Snake Eater. Mm-hmm. And this time, you know, second time rejection. So I definitely want to try one more time for the next project. If the ramen noodle will be in this series, and I definitely want to try.
What was their reason for rejecting it? Because it was a war game, or?
Yeah, because of the war game, I think. You know, they got peace concept of the, you know. So
I heard this from Ken like 10 times.
Yeah, so many times, because
Yeah,
we're not making a just, you know, killing, you know, war, well, the killing people, the war, war game, you know.
This time, you know, it's kind of difficult. Anyone you speak to that knows the game but hasn't played the game, and it's a kind of a, you know, looks like a war game.
Yeah.
A lot of people misunderstand that this is a kind of actually a real big anti-war, anti-nuclear. Mm-hmm. It's always has been the message in MGS. Mm-hmm. That's why I like it. You know, it's one of our favorite games. Of course, the fans who are listening to our podcast really understands what's behind it. And it has a lot of metaphors and things like that. It's really good. But for the people who generally know, it could be a little difficult. I mean, you have to play to play the game to understand.
Right.
All right, so what he wants to tell me is, you know, the thing was, you know, was my fault. My presentation was
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. Ken should have taken me.
So.
I mean, I'm a good presenter. So Ken, can you take me next time?
Okay.
I'll get you. I'll get you.
Okay. Cool. All right. So anyway, so there's the Hidechan ramen in there, mm-hmm. but this time we're not going to get it. So let's just head back outside, because there's another thing that I want to show you, mm-hmm. back up on the heliport.
Okay.
So let's head back to the center of the heliport.
All right.
Okay. Now when you get to the center here, people may remember in past Metal Gears that you could take pictures of ghosts in the game.
Yeah.
Right? And
in
Metal Gear Solid 1, there were a lot of ghosts hidden around the stages, you know, in Shadow Moses. And, well, in Metal Gear Solid 4, those ghosts are back. And most of them are in the same place. You know, of course, we couldn't put all of them in the same place because not every location in Shadow Moses is in the game this time, so we had to move some of them to other locations. Mm. But basically, all the staff who worked on Metal Gear Solid 1 and is you know, still with us in Metal Gear Solid 4, their ghosts are in the game, and one of them is right on this helipad. And, you know, some people may have realized this, some people might not have realized this, but the only time they'll show up is if you take your camera out and take a picture, and you won't see it until after you take the picture. You know, that's the way it normally works.
You know, you have to tell where you get the camera first?
Right, yeah. Of course, in order to do that, you have to get the camera first. So for people who haven't found the camera, it's actually in the Nomad. So while you're in the plane, you know, during that interactive cutscene, you go ahead and use your Mark II or Mark III and wander around the plane, and you can actually find the camera in there. So for those who haven't gotten the camera yet, just go ahead and pick that up. And in Shadow Moses, go ahead and equip it. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now. So if you go into your menu and equip your camera, and kind of aim it at the center of the heliport and take a picture, and you'll see a faint ghostly image appear when you hit the shutter.
Yeah, some center.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to switch on and off to the podcast and camera and things like that, right?
Yes, so. Yes. So, you know, you're probably, people are listening to the podcast right now, so if you want to do this, you'll have to switch to your camera. But, you know, before we move on, there's another thing that I want to point out about these ghosts, is that usually, you know, you won't be able to see them until you actually click to take the picture. But there is a hidden way to make these ghosts appear in your camera viewfinder without snapping a picture, and it makes it a lot easier to find these ghosts. And to do that, you have to be playing through the game a second time, because when you're fighting Screaming Mantis, you can get the Sorrow Doll.
Yeah.
Right? And if you get the Sorrow Doll from Screaming Mantis, you know, Sorrow, of course, from Metal Gear Solid 3, can see dead, you know, dead people and things like that. And in Metal Gear Solid 4, you can use it to control dead people. And if you equip it while you're equipping the camera, so if you go into your weapons menu and equip the Sorrow Doll, and then ready it as a weapon, while you have the camera on, you'll see the ghost actually appears without you clicking the shutter.
And it's actually more clear.
And it's clearer, and it's kind of, you know, floating, you know.
Is it very bigger eerily. As well?
It's not bigger. It's the same size. Same
Snow
size.
Is in glasses.
Wow. Yeah. That's very cool.
But this makes it a lot easier to find.
Okay.
So, yeah, just go ahead and equip your camera. Equip the Sorrow Doll, and maybe, you know, explore Shadow Moses this way, and look for some ghosts, because there's a lot of them hidden all over the stage.
Details!
Details! And this is why Shadow Moses took so long to make!
With the ghosts! Okay, okay.
Alright, so let's head to the north.
Okay.
And we're gonna go up the stairs in the northeast.
Oh, this is my favorite part from MGS1, because, you know, you know when the guards come over?
Right.
And you kind of hide. This is the first time you kind of encounter these, I think, the last moment thing.
Yeah, and you're kind of like on these stairs, right?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
The guards
yeah,
are right above you, and you're kind of hiding here.
And you're thinking, oh, should I go back, or should I go kill him, and right. You know, things like that. I love this part.
So right now, for people who are wondering where we are, we're right on the in the middle of the stairs right now. So we're going to head up to the top of the catwalk. And then at the top, we're on the second floor. Just follow the catwalk
to the left.
You should be heading to the west, and you'll see the duct on your right-hand side.
Yeah.
So, stop in front of the duct.
I remember this point as well, because every time you get spotted from the guards, you kind of duck into this duct. And,
and you're trying to get in as quickly as possible, but the snake's like ducking down. And like, go, 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 go.
Very slow. And
the guard sees you. Yeah. But anyway, no guard here this time, so let's go ahead and duck down, crawl into this duct. And as soon as you get in, crawl a little ways, and you'll hear another flashback.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Master Miller.
Master Miller.
Yeah. But he sounds like somebody else.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah,
familiar.
Sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was?
Somebody else in Metal Gear Solid 1, right?
Oh yeah.
It is a long duck.
It is a long duck.
Yeah. What happens if you kind of look down?
You can look down. You can see, you know, look into the other rooms or peek out through the grates and see the, you know, dwarf gecko crawling around.
Okay.
You can go ahead and do that. But this time the duck, you know, is just one way, so just go ahead and follow it to the end. You know, if you follow these rats, you know, they'll lead you out. So.
Oh, the rats are still here.
Yeah, the rats are still here, so you won't get lost. Okay, so when you get to the end of the duct, you pick up some iPod music. This was the Warhead Storage background music from the original Metal Gear Solid 1.
Mr. Muraoka composed this music, right?
Yeah. You know, we're talking to Mr. Muraoka about this music, and he was talking about how insanely difficult it was to make this on the original PlayStation. Back in those days, you know, you had to load all of the sound into memory and basically call everything by hand. It's not like you could just stream audio from, you know, a disc or, you know, load everything into memory like we do now.
Yeah.
You know, that's just realize, you know, listen to the quality of this background music and realize that this all had to be done by hand.
Okay. Shall we move on?
Yep. All right, so next, let's just go ahead and climb out from this duct. So go to the edge, press the triangle button, and you'll swing down and hang from the edge of the duct. And be careful when you drop down here because, you know, there are the dwarf gecko patrolling the drop down. So let's go to the end of the catwalk behind this
small container
at the end of the catwalk here. Hide behind this container here so that you don't get spotted by the dwarf gecko. And if you look to the east, you'll see that door with the number 4 written on it.
Number 4?
Number 4.
Yeah.
And there's actually something really special about that room number 4.
Special. Yo.
Can you go inside?
You can go inside, but not now. If you try to go inside now, you'll find that the door is actually locked. But later on in the game, that door will open. Actually, in the next stage, when you activate the power, you know, and Otacon disables the security, this door will be opened, so be sure to come back here and check inside of there, because there's a pretty cool item.
What kind?
You can actually get an iPod track.
Oh.
Okay, so we drop down from this duct. Again, dwarf gecko patrolling. And once they're gone, quickly drop down from this catwalk. End of the catwalk, swing over the edge, drop down, and as soon as you hit the ground, head outside through underneath these shutters to the north. And then stop as soon as you get to the other side of the shutters.
And we'll get another...
And you will be hearing another flashback as soon as you drop down. Okay, so now you should be in this laser hallway, which you'll remember from Metal Gear Solid 1. And, you know, again, to bring up the nostalgia, we actually placed these dwarf gecko on the walls in the same positions, the same place as the lasers in Metal Gear Solid 1, to kind of, you know, recreate that feeling. So they're in the exact same spot. And another thing I want to point out while we're here is if you go ahead and equip your solid eye and enable night vision, and look at the ground, you'll see some footprints.
Ah, these are footprints of...
Familiar?
Yeah. There's two footprints.
Right. And people may recognize one set from South America during our tracking mission.
The heels?
Yep, the heels. So you can deduce that Naomi was here. And the other pair of footprints actually belongs to Vamp.
Yeah, he also kind of does that Vamp walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, over here.
Yeah,
he's trademark Vamp walk.
Yeah.
You know, look around on the ground and see their footprints here and there. So people who want to do that can go ahead and take a look. Okay, so now let's go ahead and move through this hallway. So we're going to head to the north and just be sure not to get spotted by these lasers. So wait till you can run through and run under these lasers.
Go.
Get to the end.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You're out in the canyon.
Okay, we stop here?
Yeah, so let's stop here. So, you know, once again, we're out in the snow, and you'll hear another flashback.
We're out in the canyon, and what do you want to tell us in this canyon part?
All right, so first thing I want to do is let's head to the right, go to the east.
East.
And there's kind of like this big boulder here. So yes. Let's just go around this boulder until you hit the, you know, the wall, like this rock wall.
Yeah.
And then to the east, there's actually a pathway.
Yeah.
Leading up to these. So let's go up this pathway.
Okay.
And at the end here, you'll find a rock wall and a bunch of items. But, you know, originally, when we were making this stage, there was not a rock wall here. There was actually a lake beyond this. And, you know, we had this whole, like, scenario where there was a frozen lake and there were gecko patrolling on top of the lake. And you could, like, you know, break the ice and, like, drop them down to the water and things like that. And that was actually, like, an entirely different route that you could take to get to this point.
Yeah.
So in the original design for this stage, you could actually bypass that whole heliport area completely and go from the beginning.
Ah, I see, to here.
Right. So when you first come down from the helicopter, instead of going, you know, to the west, if you went to the north, you could actually head up and get to this lake area. And then it would hook up to the canyon from this path here. But, you know, back then, you know, Moses was envisioned as kind of more of an action-oriented stage. But, you know, midway through, we decided we wanted to go with more of a nostalgic feeling for the stage. And then, you know, of course, the other thing was that we felt it would be a really horrible waste for people not to see the heliport, you know, because that's probably the most memorable thing that people, you know about Metal Gear Solid 1 was that, you know, sneaking into the from that heliport in the beginning. So, yeah, we definitely wanted to make people go to that heliport. So, for that reason, we decided to close this path.
I see. So, there is still a lake behind that, I guess.
Beyond here, I guess you can imagine there's a lake beyond that.
No data.
Not anymore. It's been buried by snow.
Okay. So we got the items, so let's, should we, what are we going to do? We're going to head back?
Okay, yeah, so let's head back. Head back to the canyon. So go down the slope, and you'll see these two gecko who are in power save mode. So let's sneak by these. If you go towards, you know, through the middle of the canyon, you can get by without waking them up. So carefully do that. And then when you get past these gecko, kind of lined up with the second gecko, then to the west, you'll see this small little cave. Which was also here in Metal Gear Solid 1. Probably when you get to this point, you'll hear Otacon going on about one of the geckos waking up. But if you come into this cave, you can get an item here. You can get the iPod track Following Destiny, which is from Zone of the Enders. Yeah. All right, so I think we will wrap it up here. From this point, all that's left is to head to the north, and of course you crawl under that shutter, and you go to the next stage.
We still get a lot of requests about Zone of the Enders, don't we?
Yeah, everybody wants part three.
It was a good game.
You like to know, like, how many people want us to make the sequel?
Yeah, well, because, you know, a lot of the Kojima Productions, KJP fans really know Zone of the Enders or Boktai or other products as well, like even Snatcher or Police Knots. Not officially even released in some areas, but people still know, say we want this officially or want a sequel to it. And Zone of Enders is always kind of referred as, you know, in interviews or things like that. When are you going to create, you know, it's a Mr. Kojima, when are you going to create the next Zone of the Enders? You know, we would like to see, and we get this request all the time. However, we were thinking, Ken and I were always saying, actually, how many people, you know, really want Zone of the Enders as a sequel? So, guys, if you're listening, and tell us not about you, but your friends who are like casual Metal Gear fans, if they're interested or not.
Yeah.
Don't lie. Don't lie, okay?
But don't inflate the numbers.
We just want to know, you know, purely, if it's really, you know, of course, as Hideo has been always saying, he would like to do this when he has time, but there's always sacrifices. If he does that, you'll get to see the latest new Hideo's thing even later. So that's kind of a trade-off, isn't it? But if there's so many people wanting to see Zone of Enders, why not put the priority on top, a little further up? You know, but we just want to know. Ken especially really wants to know because he's been asking this all the time.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could have like a poll or something. I mean, you know, ask like all gamers and you know, how many people wanted to play COE sequel.
Well, we have all the Metal Gear Solid 4 players listening to this podcast.
Okay. Okay, well, make sure you write your comments, and we'll check your comments out. And where are we going to start next time?
So next time we'll start right on the other side of that shutter.
Okay, the nuclear warhead.
Right, nuclear warhead storage building.
Guys, did you hear that? Next time we're going to do the latter half of Shadow Moses. Thanks, guys, for joining. And, well, if you missed something, Sean, you're, of course, more than welcome to say. especially about your personal things.
I think I'll pass on the personal.
Okay. We'll hear more next time on the latter half. So thanks for tuning in and see you next time.
All right. See you. Bye.
Thank you. All right. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Check back next time for more tips, tricks, and insider info on Metal Gear Solid 4. Brought to you by Kojima Productions and Hideo Kojima himself. Make sure to send in your comments to Hideo Blog. See you next time.